the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one on this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. And trust me when I tell you, I am the hottest property in this industry today. Nobody can touch me. The only thing that's real is me, day in and day out. I am the best in the world. Do I have everybody's attention now?
Salty thoughts of Mike Steph, this marks a new beginning. Thanks for supporting a total reinvention. The soul is still here, but the vibe's a little different. Unpredictable, hide the kids and the women. Sports of all sorts, music, mixed for living. Rep New York City, but ain't the politician. Always bring the heat, Steph, bacon in the kitchen. Big shout to y'all, I appreciate the listen. Donnie put the rest, but I'm still in the best. In the world of what I do, all y'all know the rest. I live it, I breathe it, I'm the whole definition. The pinnacle, the ultimate, I'm on a new mission. The Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph, featuring the one and only Mike Steph, the best in the world of what he does. Tap in.
What up, people? I said, what up, people? Welcome to another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, featuring the one and only Mike Steph, best in the world at what he does. Yes, man, I'm back for another full-length episode. My mood is not really that great because this weekend has not been that great, well, at least sports-wise. My New York Knickerbockers went into Indianapolis, Indiana, to be exact, this past Friday night, up 2-0. And they were about, might as well say, about 2 to 3 minutes away from having a commanding 3-0 lead in the Eastern Conference semifinal series. Due to a lucky 30-some-odd foot three-pointer by Mr. Nimhard of the Pacers and various other miscues in that last 2 minutes and change. And unfortunately, the crap that I saw today, Mother's Day to be exact, happy Mother's Day to each and every one of y'all mothers out there. We're coming back home, coming back to the city, coming back to Gotham, coming back to the Mecca, tied 2-2 with a cavalcade of injuries, which should not be an excuse, but a cavalcade of injuries nevertheless. And a very, very sullen mood by yours truly. So I'm going to let y'all know off the bat, this will be, once again, a Knicks-centric episode. Y'all know what a Knicks-centric episode means. Means it's going to be nonstop Knicks talk on this here episode. No sprinkle, no pour, full-fledged Salty Thoughts. I will recap the happenings on what they're entitling. And matter of fact, if you looked at my thumbnail, I entitled it myself. The Mother's Day Massacre in Indianapolis, Indiana, to be exact, in which my New York Knicks fell at the hands of the Indiana Pacers. And I will get into the minutiae of what exactly happened and what we might be able to, or should I say, what we expected to do this Tuesday, back in the Garden, back in the Mecca, back in the Big Apple. Yes. Also, after I finish getting my saw out, I will direct my ire. Actually, at first, it was going to be directed to multiple members of the media. The more and more I thought about it, the more and more I prepared my trusty ass notes, I decided to single out one mother effer in particular to aim, shoot, and fire at concerning my New York Knickerbockers. Yeah. And for listeners, for longtime listeners of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph, and for me personally, because I'm not going to lie, like I said, I'm a New York Knicks fan through and through, but I do F with the Warriors. I respect their hustle, except for this one mother effer that happens to be in media right now, or as he entitled it, the new media. Yeah, Mr. Draymond Green. Yeah, I have a lot of choice words for that cocksucker. Yeah, 5 minutes and 18 seconds, and the first cocksucker came out my mouth. Pause. Yeah. So I have a lot of things to say about his thoughts on the New York Knicks' success so far, how it's not sustainable, and so forth. And that might would not happen. I would not be able to record on Mother's Day without the Wi-Fi acting wonky. I remember last Mother's Day, I had a nice episode that split in two because of fucking StreamYard. Because it's not my Wi-Fi, it's StreamYard. Do you know what? I think I have 1 billion gigabytes of Wi-Fi, if that's such a thing. So it's not my Wi-Fi, because guess what? I pay the price. I pay the cost to be the boss after this mother effer. It's fucking StreamYard. And trust me, StreamYard, you don't want to get into a tit for tat with me. Because even though you control the bandwidth on this motherfucker, I control what comes out my mouth. And trust and believe, it will not be nice for you. But regardless, I'll be talking and taking tasks one, none other than Draymond Green and his asinine thoughts, his asinine comments concerning my New York Knickerbockers. And that it will be the episode this week. No, I will not be talking in depth about the New York Mets. Matter of fact, this is specifically for Smitty from the group home in Bergen Beach, who I know will be not be watching, because he does not like to indulge in basketball. He does not like to indulge in wrestling. And he doesn't like to really indulge in the New York Jets. So when I talk about those three options, those three topics, he does not indulge in the Salty Thoughts. No, he actually used to indulge in the Salty Thoughts of Donnie Ooh. But guess what? When it turns to Mike Steph, oh, now you want to be picky. Now you want to be picky. No, you stop. But I'll say this. The New York Mets, the New York Metropolitans, they are currently 19-20 over on the season. And they salvaged the last game of a three-game set against our arch nemesis, our arch rivals. Even though for it to be a rivalry, we actually have to go blow for blow. And over the last 10 years, we've been getting spanked, shackled, goozled by the Atlanta Braves. But we did salvage the last game of a three-game set in Flushing, Queens. Yeah. So whoop-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. There's my New York Mets talk. I guarantee you. Matter of fact, I'm going to put this out there. Unless they go on like a 9-game winning streak, which I doubt at this point, and unless they call up some people, yeah, I know Christian Scott, top prospect, did good. Yeah, he did good. What happened to our hitting? We damn near got no hit except for J.D. Martinez. Hitting a home run in the bottom of ninth. But yeah, I don't think I'll be talking about the New York Metropolitan until I make my annual excursion to Citi Field with the previously mentioned Smitty from the group home in Bergen Beach and Brother Thou. And from what I know, I think three other unnamed sources, unnamed people that I guess I'll meet when I get there. Because this time, guess what? It's on Smitty. So there'll be blue moon for everybody but me. There'll be alcohol for everybody but me. There'll be pork premium sausages for everyone but me. Because I don't drink and I don't eat pork. So I'm looking forward to a grand old time. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. Yeah, I actually look out for my sugar. So no Cracker Jacks for me. I don't care if I ever get back. Well, I got a family. It's Mother's Day. Got kids, even though my kids are grown. But regardless, root for the home team. Should I? This mother effing suck. If they don't win, it's a shame. Well, it's been a shame all season because we're below 500. Well, it's 1, 2, 3 strikes you're out at the old ball game. There's your baseball talk. So let's get this show on the road and talk about my New York Knickerbockers. Without further ado, good night. As I shake the table and goodbye. Bang! The New York Knicks lost game 4 to the Indiana Pacers this past Sunday, which happened to be Mother's Day. They're entitling it, as I said in the intro, the Mother's Day Massacre, part 2, over 30 years later. The series is tied currently at 2 games apiece. Game 5 is at MSG this coming Tuesday. Now, I watched this game. I turned this game on maybe about 5 minutes into the game because it's Mother's Day and, you know, me and the missus had to do some running around. And so I got in just maybe about 5 minutes into the game. Game minutes. And it was 10-4. And I'm like, okay, not the greatest. But, you know, I can understand because just perhaps, you know, I mean, throughout the old playoffs, just throughout this whole playoff run, the Knicks have gotten off to slow starts. Yeah, you was about to see double me. That's not going to happen. I have no idea what's going on here. Hold on 1 minute. Where was I? Oh, yes, sipping on Chris Stav with fingers up the chick's dress. Like I was saying, we started out, I started watching this game. We was down 10-4, which was no surprise to me because we've been coming out slow for the beginning, pretty much the duration of this postseason, right? But there was a stark difference to what I was seeing. I was seeing a team that on the outside looking in looks like they're not giving as much effort as they need. They're low energy. What I saw was a tired team. Just perhaps, the amount of minutes and the nip and tuck games that they've had pretty much every game except for this past Sunday afternoon's game has been nip and tuck, has been down to the wire, has been very intense. And the energy was low, and for some reason we was not able to match what was needed. So much so, they were like, with halfway through the third quarter, Tibbs actually pulled the plug because we was down by like 35. And this is what you saw. You saw Brunson and DiVincenzo on the bench in utter disbelief at what was going on. I mean, for this whole game, tell you the truth, we got horsed. We got horsed this whole game. Brunson tried his best. but you can tell he's still not right. No excuses, though. And we really just didn't match the energy that was needed. Now, would that happen again in game five? It better not. Has no choice. We have no choice for it not to happen. I mean, we'll be home. We should be galvanized by the Rabbit fan base. And regardless, it can't be a repeat of what happened in game four. Like, we had no energy the whole game. It was like we was moving in slow motion. The passes were lethargic. I mean, there was a couple passes by Josh Hart that it just looked like, I wouldn't say they was going through the motions, but it just seemed like something was missing. It was almost like for the first time this whole season, they were not able to answer the call after a blown game, a missed opportunity, so forth. Like I said, this is a team with no excuses, not giving no excuses for that performance. Nor did Coach Tibbs. But you had, very early in the game, you had some players that wasn't even looking for their shot. Now I'm going to mix some stats in here. Dante and Jalen, for the first quarter, were combined 1 of 13. Jalen was 0 for 5. I think Dante was maybe like 1 for 8. Something insane like that. We was outscored in the first half. Off the bench, 27 to 14. At one point, the bench of Indiana had as many points as our whole team. And that was 27. The majority of those 14 points we got off the bench in the second quarter was due to Alec Burke. One of the problems we had in this game until finally Tibbs pulled the entire plug was that even in a blowout, we didn't have enough quality players to adequately rest our main players throughout the blowout. Like, even with the game never in doubt in the second half, Brunson still played 30 minutes. Dante still played 32 minutes. He pulled the plug on Josh Hart early. And you can see the look on Josh Hart's face. It wasn't even like a look of disdain. It was like, wow, like, we got punched in the mouth and we didn't respond to the call. We didn't respond to the bell. Now, all our bench players were already playing, meaning all the players that I want to say the beginning of the season, but I'll say toward the end of the season, the beginning of the postseason, the majority of the players that have been playing are players that normally come off the bench. Precious Achiuwa usually is a bench cog. He was pressed into action earlier than normal, more than normal, due to the absence of Mitch Robinson, due to fucking Dirty Embiid. See, that play still comes and rears its ugly head at a domino effect when it comes to our depth. We had Bogey coming off the bench, Bogdanović coming off the bench. He's gone for the rest of the postseason. That's another useful piece. And he played a pivotal role at the very beginning of that Philadelphia series with clutch threes off the bench, giving us 10 to 15 minutes. Those 10 to 15 minutes that we was able to steal are no longer there. Josh Hart has been, like I said, last game, he played three postseason games of 48 minutes or more. It's bound to catch up. I mean, we're pressing Alec Burke into action. Deuce McBride, listen, I'm not knocking him, but he hasn't stepped up when we needed him to step up. But at the same time, we're putting him in a position. He's being put in a position that he is not accustomed. He's accustomed coming off the bench and giving a spark, not being counted on for production. But like I said, all our bench players are already playing. We're not bringing Jacob Toppin off the bench because he's not even dressed to play. We had to put Jeffries in. We had to put Shake Milton in. We had to put Jericho Sims in, who was good for a good quick 5 minutes, a quick blow, but due to another unfortunate injury, even though nothing was specified to Hartenstein, but we're dropping like flies. So even if they wanted to get adequate rest for the main plays in game five, a quarter and a half would help. But I don't think it would have helped. I mean, it's going to help as much as if we just said, you know what? Pull this plug. Jalen, you sit on the bench for, you know, you only do 25 minutes. Like, they had to end up doing an extra 5 minutes of cardio, you might as well say. Now, another thing is, and once again, no excuses. Another thing is that Indiana's size is taking its toll. But I believe it's taking its toll based on the lethargic nature that the Knicks had throughout this game. There was a play, I believe, where Hartenstein is going for a rebound, and one of the Pacers players just literally jumped and took it off him, like pretty much just went over him and just said, yeah, here, all right, put back. Pascal Siakam front-running ass. You wasn't doing all that shit when OG was in the lineup, but when you have Dante being pretty much the main defender against Pascal Siakam, no matter how much I want to question his heart, all he has to do is do the turnaround over the shoulder. Like, it's shooting practice. Like I said, I'm not going to spin those excuses because it was what it was. We got spanked. We got spanked, and it's okay. We just wasn't able to match the intensity, and that was ultimately the difference. Like, when the margin for error when it comes to us is so razor thin, paper thin, we could not afford for that to happen, especially knowing that they were going to have momentum. The most important part of game four, in my belief, was the first 5 to 10 minutes. So we should have been able to not allow them to have any type of belief that, yo, that lucky shit that happened at the end of game three is sustainable. And to their credit, they punched us in the mouth. And they said, you know what happened in game three? Shit, should have happened in game two. It should have happened in game one. That's what was going in their head. Never mind about the fact that it was a full-on brawl those first 5 to 10 minutes. And one could say, well, you know, the officiating. Look, we're not going to be like Rick Carlisle and blame it. It's just the fact that if it's going to be blow for blow and the refs are going to allow that, we got to be able to return the blows that we was receiving. And unfortunately, we wasn't able to do that. Now, I do have a couple questions, though. Question number one. Was it really necessary for us that played the Sunday afternoon game? Now, one would say, well, that's because the Knicks are the marquee matchup, so you want them on Mother's Day afternoon. Okay. But at the same time, you have the defending champions in Denver, right? Why they got the 8 o'clock slot? Just asking. Why they got the 8 o'clock slot? They didn't play Friday night, I don't believe. Or maybe they did. But if they did, they were still on the same timeline. Us, out this series, they played the 7 o'clock slot on Friday, ended at 9:30, 10 o'clock, and then they had to double back and be ready at 3:30 for a 3:30 tip-off. So in actuality, it wasn't a day and a half off. It wasn't a day in between. It was more like a half a day in between. Because as soon as you woke up today, you had to be game ready. And evidently we weren't. Another question. How come our series is the only one in the semifinals, both in the East and the West, that's been every other day? every other series has had at least an extra game in between one of the games. They've had a two-day rest at least between one of those games, 1 through 4, 1 through 5. You know when we're able to get an extra game rest? I mean, extra day rest? Unfortunately, going into game 6. So every other day, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's almost like they tried to speedball this fucking series. Let's get this series done in a week and change. I'm not saying conspiracy, because listen, it was what it was, but I mean, it's not like we went 7 games. Shoot. Boston and Cleveland has actually had an extra day of rest. And Cleveland went 7 games. Just saying. So with all this combined, today it was a recipe for destruction for what happened today. Now, the Pacers to me, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, the Pacers to me are a bunch of front runners. And I'll repeat it again and again and again and again and again. Halliburton, okay, had a little 20 points. Shooting your threes, talking about, yeah, he can't stop me. What the fuck happened in game 1? What happened to those empty 34 points in game 2 and 3? Yeah, I don't care if y'all won game 3, but those points were empty when it mattered the most. You gave Nembhard a ticking time bomb, and he flung that shit up, and it happened to go in. I'm not a Halliburton hater at all, but all this rah-rah, nah, I ain't here for it. Tell you the truth, T.J. McConnell has been the best player on your team for the whole fucking series, if you want to call a spade. But you're the one who's getting that extra bread, right? And once again, not looking in your pocket. But put that energy at one of those fucking post-WWE scrums. Talk about he can't. All right, keep that same energy this Tuesday. Now, listen, they were the better team. They were the better team today. I mean, I have no choice but to admit that. They were the better team today. But I hope they have that same energy in the Garden. What's that old saying? The series doesn't start until the home team loses the game. Guess what? Then I guess the series hasn't started yet. Best 2 out of 3, two of the last 3 games are in the Garden. Now, do I really want it to go 7? No. Tell you the truth, at the very beginning of the series, I said Knicks in 6. That was before the injuries. But still, Knicks in 6. Do I have faith that if it went to game 7, we would prevail? I have no choice but to have faith. But who knows who we would have left if this actually goes 7 games? Just saying. Like, when Alec Burks, once again, is your savior to make sure you don't lose by 50, it's just not your day. It's just not your day. Now, I got some stats for you, because I know that's what everybody came here for. And these stats should help put a picture on why we got our ass bust. Point blank. We got our ass bust. The Knicks was 7 for 37 from 3. 7 for 37 from 3. I think the Pacers were 14 to 31. That's a difference of 7 3-point. That's a difference of 21 points right there. Differential. We shot 33% from the field. 33% from the field. Do you know how putrid that is? In any game, never mind a playoff game. Like, I'll give you the specifics. We were 30 for 89 from the field. Indianapolis, Indiana, was 50 for 88. Hence why you saw this in the third quarter. Free throws. Now imagine if we didn't have 31 trips to the line. We were 22 of 31 from the line. Indiana was 7 for 8. But they weren't taking it to the rack. They were shooting threes and making them. They were shooting twos and making them. They weren't getting fouled. So imagine if we didn't get to the line that much, we would have lost by 50. Which is, we scored a total of 89 points. A total of 89 points. 121-89 was the final, right? It was 34-14 at the end of the first. But I still, me and the bros still held our hope. We said, you know what? We get it underneath 20 by halftime. Chip away. When they got to 30, I'm like, my bro Money Mike kept the faith. My bro D Clark kept the faith until it was a fait accompli. Other stats. Dante was 1 of 7 from 3. 3 of 13 overall. He just didn't have it. And once again, no excuse, but that's why Friday was so important. When you get 35 from Dante and he was hot like fish grease, gotta close that game out. Give yourself some margin of error. And we did it. Deuce McBride was 3 of 13 from 3. 6 of 17 overall. Once again, can't really lay anything at his feet because he should not be counted on to lead the offense. But in a lot of those threes, I won't say were in garbage time. Well, I should say a lot of those threes that he actually made were in garbage time. And a lot of those threes is 3 of 13. That's disgusting. Like, what are you doing? Jalen Brunson for the first half. But the first quarter was 0 for 5. Actually, matter of fact, I'm sorry. He was 0 for 5 from 3, 6 of 17 overall. But an even more damning stat was this. Seven of his 11 shots fell off the front of the rim. They were short of the rim, which is a sign of fatigue or a sign of not getting enough lift that he's accustomed to. That explosiveness that we're accustomed to seeing from Jalen Brunson has been missing since the foot injury. To his credit, once again, no excuses. This would lend credence to all the assholes out there that would say, well, you ran him into the ground. Listen, had nothing to do with strictly fatigue. It happened. He banged his foot on somebody's shin. It happened. Because prior to that, he was cooking y'all. And even in that second half, he came out and he cooked y'all. But that seemed like that was based on adrenaline. Adrenaline only. Because in the two full games since the injury that he sustained in the first quarter of game two, so this is game 3 and 4, both on the road, he is a combined 16 of 43 overall from the field, 2 for 11 from deep, and numerous missed free throws, which we are not accustomed to seeing. As I said earlier, Hart didn't have it today. And to Thibodeau credit. He realized that. He said, you know what? I'm going to lose this battle to win the war. And I'm going to sit his ass on the bench and try to get some energy saved, energy in the tank, gas in the tank for game five. Hartenstein, because Hart only played 24 minutes. Like, he played half of what he usually plays, which is 48 minutes. Isaiah Hartenstein didn't have his usual energy at all. And I'm looking at it, it was glaring. But from reading the reports, reading the articles after the game, and listening to his comments, seems like it makes a little bit more sense now of why he didn't have that usual energy, that usual aggression that he usually plays with. It might have been attributed to a shoulder injury that he sustained in the second quarter. Now, x-rays came back negative, but Hartenstein did hint in post-game interviews that he has a possibility that he has a pinched nerve problem. He says that his hand gets numb at times, but he was brushing it off. Now, kudos to the no excuse mantra, but this is the problem. Like, he is our center. We've been able to, I won't say run the offense through him, but utilize his skills, his unique skill set in the post to free up our shooters, to free up the lanes for the backdoor passes, backdoor cuts, and so forth. So it seems like, once again, the injuries are becoming an avalanche of problems at the absolute worst time. And probably the worst injury of them all right now is the ongoing rehab of OG Anunoby from a hamstring injury. OG has not participated on any on-court exercise. He's still doing in pool. And it really doesn't look promising that he's going to be back for this series, even if it goes to game seven. Why is this so important? Why is this so notable, I should say, is this. With OG Anunoby in the lineup, including the playoffs, the Knicks are 26-5. Without OG in the lineup, the Knicks are 13-16. We're under 500 team. Now, Coach Tibbs, once again, living by the no excuse mantra, said the following. Listen, OG was gone for a good chunk of the season. So that's no excuse. Not having him is no excuse. Just got to get it done. And as I've reiterated multiple times during this episode, I agree. We just got to get it done. We've been getting it done all season. It would be a shame that the gas runs out so close to an advancement. And I'm not throwing in a towel whatsoever at all. Like I said, it'll be a shame. But once again, game five is Tuesday. And we're going to be ready, willing, and able to put on the performance of the season. Because whether we realize it or not, the season hangs in the balance in game five. We do not want to go back to Indiana down 3-2. We do not want to go back to Indiana down 3-2, dealing with that madhouse, dealing with our existing injuries, dealing with our lack of rest. If anything, we want to go to Indiana up 3-2 with a chance to close it out and with that margin of error of, well, you know what? If things don't go our way, we'll save the rest of our bullets for game seven. But in reality, we really would try to end it in game six, like we did in Philly. This Mother's Day massacre wasn't quite as bad as the original, in which the Boston Celtics detonated and dominated the 76ers of Philly, 121-81 in game one of the 1982 Eastern Conference Finals. But it was close. It was close. I ain't gonna lie. I vaguely remember that. I was 5 going on 6. Listen, I've been an NBA fan for that long. I remember back in the days where playoff games, especially the Western Conference playoff games, that didn't come on in prime time. They came on tape delay, 11:30 at night on Channel 2, CBS, where Warner Wolf would put the spoilers up and tell people spoiler alert. Well, he wouldn't say spoiler alert, but he would actually put the sign up for the scores for those who wanted to know that couldn't stay up and actually watch the game that was coming on after the 11 o'clock news. That's how old I am. That's the era that I'm from. But guess this, guess what? In that quote-unquote Mother's Day massacre by the Boston Celtics, the Celtics, led by Dr. J, Julius Irvin, Andrew Toney, Mo Cheeks and them boys, came back to win that series in 7 games. So, it ain't over. It ain't over. Party ain't over. Party ain't over. This person that you see on your screen right now is none other than Draymond Green. Power forward for the 4-time champion Golden State Warriors. But for this discussion that I'm having, the person that you see on the screen right now, I'm going to call a grade A cocksucker. Yes, yes. Knicks for clicks. Is Draymond Green a troll? Or he's a flipping idiot? You be the judge. Before I get into my diatribe against these comments that he's had on his show, the Draymond Green Show on YouTube, you know, his podcast, which before this postseason, I'm not going to lie, I actually found pretty interesting. Before I get into that, there's an ongoing narrative, at least in the world of Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, social media, let's just put it that way, right? From Golden State fans, Golden State Warriors supporters rooting against the New York Knicks. And I don't understand why. I mean, one of the people that cover the Warriors, one of their supporters that have been on, that have done the media rounds, that are part of the media now, actually said that they were actually rooting for the most entertaining They were rooting for their own entertainment, which great, but the most drama possible and whatever benefits the Warriors. Which I like I said, I don't understand. Another such post was, push it to 40 paces, be really disrespectful. Once again, I don't get it. I could understand if this was a rival of Golden State, such as Phoenix, Denver, Dallas, Minnesota, OKC. Someone who the Warriors would have to deal with in the foreseeable future. Well, in this case, maybe they won't have to deal with them in the foreseeable future. Because guess what? To deal with those teams that I just mentioned, they got to make, guess what? The playoffs. And unless I'm mistaken, the Warriors did not make the playoffs. And this is very funny for me to be saying, because like I've said, I've been a Warriors supporter. Matter of fact, I did say I was a fan. But this narrative that's being spun by the supporters, by the Warriors faithful, is really making that fan base even more unlikable than what everybody else don't like their asses in the first place for. I don't get it. I can even understand if you're saying, well, you know, I'm going to root against Boston, demise. Okay, fine. Even though you beat them for your last championship, I can understand that, because that's somewhat of a rivalry, if you want to call it a rivalry. You have meat in the game, so to speak. But it made me wonder, and maybe I'm delusional. You can say I'm delusional, but made me wonder, where's this coming from? Is it the fact that Brunson is receiving all these accolades, all these kudos? Well, from a select chosen few, because the rest of the media, such as Vinny Goodwill, said the following, that Jalen Brunson's numbers are better than what he truly is due to his usage rate? The fact that the Knicks won't make the finals because they're being run into the ground. And peep this, Mitch Robinson's injury and him being out for the duration of the offseason will cause the Knicks to play Jalen Brunson more. What fucking logic does that make? Mitch Rob was a center coming off the bench. Jalen Brunson, it's a starting point guard. So how the fuck is his absence going to make sure that Jalen Brunson has to log even more minutes? Make that make sense. And this is the NBA pundit, someone that actually I respect his opinion. Writer for Yahoo Sports. But that was, once again, Knicks for clicks. Just like I explained in my previous two Sprinkle Saw episode post-game reaction shows of Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal on Inside the NBA talking mucho shit about, yeah, I hope the Knicks win so the Celtics can bust their ass. Knicks for clicks. They know they come out, they know our fan base is so damn passionate that any little slight that we have, that we hear, we're going to attack like a guard dog. So therefore, to get that engagement, you're going to come up with the most asinine thoughts, asinine comments possible just to get that engagement that you so richly crave. Which brings us back to cocksucker number one. Grade A, I might add. Draymond Green, to me, seems like he has a personal vendetta against the Knicks. What, did he send out feelers and the Knicks were like, no, we don't want your old ass? I don't know. Now, I understand that he's still playing in the league. So the fanboy out on another team would be suspect. I get it. But I'm watching these episodes from his podcast, and he's actually championing Halliburton. Actually getting visibly frustrated on Halliburton not being aggressive enough, not realizing the gravity of the playoffs. Then there was comments such as, the Knicks scored 120 points the other day by the skin of their teeth. That's where the trolling is sneaking through. Knicks foot clicks is a real thing. For such a basketball savant, he's saying these outlandish things that just has to be for attention only. He can't truly believe all this bullshit that his mouth is spouting, that his mouth is spewing. Even in his praise for players such as Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart, is tinged with a little bit of skepticism. Especially the breakdowns of Brunson. He's saying it in a way to imply that he's being selfish and stat chasing. statements like not only trying to get his, he's ball dominant. How about you have that same energy for Luka Doncic? How about you have that same energy for others in the league? Saying that him being a Knick is because no one believed in him is a fact. Yes. Because guess what? Dallas didn't believe that he was going to be the player that he actually showed the organization that he was capable of being in the absence of Luka Doncic. Yet, they couldn't even give him 50 mil. So yes, the reason he's a Knick is because Dallas nor anybody else believed in what they were seeing, even though he proved it time and time again in the big time, in that postseason of 2022. Now, but to frame it like it's not everyone else's fault for underestimating his talent is, to me, insane. Dallas let him go for nothing. Yeah, they let him go for nothing. But why not? Why are they not getting flamed for that? Just that mistake cost them more money and more players than if they would have just signed them for the minuscule money that they had when they had the chance. But no. Instead of that, the evaluation process was flawed. Not the player. The evaluation process was flawed. But giving Dallas credit for being in the current position that they're in spite of this gaffe, to me, is crazy. Like, come on, you're moving the goalposts. It's incredulous on how much they're moving the goalposts to fit their agenda, to fit their narrative. Fuck out of here. Finally, mentioning that the Knicks, mind you, are this year's version of the Atlanta Hawks from 2021 is all-time blasphemy. Have a good playoff run, suck everyone into thinking that our players are better than they are, and then we're never, ever heard from a game. Well, the big difference is this. A lot of our main players are injured right now. And we're still succeeding. We have cap maneuverability. And we have a lot of draft assets that can be leveraged to improve our team for the right fit. Not the fit that everybody thinks that we should have. These over-the-hill players. Oh, yeah, KD. Yeah, we should invite LeBron. We should allow LeBron to come in and taint our franchise. We should go for Paul George. Do you realize these motherfuckers are 34 plus? If we were able to do that, if we were going to do that, let's say we didn't have the success we had this season. Let's say we squeaked in as a 7th seed, right? Won the play-in, got in as a 7th seed. Got knocked out in the first round. And then we threw all this money and all our assets for an older player that only gives us a 1 to 2 year window. And got rid of our much needed depth. Y'all would be the same motherfuckers that be on the air talking about, yeah, the same old Knicks. The Knicks are struggling. The Knicks are thirsty for a star. Nobody wants to come to New York. They had to overpay for an older player. Now, unlike all those teams that he mentioned, the Atlanta Hawks, the Portland Trailblazers, which he was like, yeah, you know, Portland was like that when they had Allen Crabbe and blah, 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 and Al Farouk. Listen, are you serious? Never mind about the fact that he conveniently left out that team. Yes, I'm not saying they were a world beater, but that team that he left out, they had CJ McCollum and they had Dame Lillard. Did they sweep them? Yes. But when he's talking about all the ancillary players, he conveniently left out the two players that whole team was surrounded by. I mean, sent it on. But he forgets that unlike those teams that he mentioned, we have established a culture the last couple of years, a culture which is being built upon. He forgets that his team, the team that he's been with his whole fucking career, is a lot like this year's team. Years ago, before the championships, built through the draft, built with very key acquisitions, and establishing a culture. Remember, you didn't come into the league and instantaneously walk into a winning situation. Remember those years that y'all getting bumped by the Clippers until y'all got over that hump. Key acquisitions. Barbosa, Bogut, amongst others. Around the nucleus. Around the culture that y'all instill. But now everybody, this cocksucker want to talk shit. It's all right. Now he's a triple single. He's a triple single old head who's readying himself for his ball afterlife. Or should I say his life after ball. It's distressing. It's troublesome. And it's very disappointing. But guess what? That's not my problem. It's not his problem either, but it's not my problem anymore. This team that he currently is on underachieved more than any other team in the league this year. You have Steph still in his prime. Supposedly, I guess you're supposed to be still in your prime too, right? You just re-upped your coach for a massive extension, right? Meaning he's not going nowhere, right? And y'all couldn't even get into the fucking playoffs. Y'all got blown out in the play-in by Sacramento. Looking old and slow. Looking flabby and sick. And this is what you want to talk to. This is what it's come to? Knicks for clicks. I guess if nobody has an effed up opinion, then you have no opinion at all, right? Sad state of affairs. Well, people, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast. I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making me end this here podcast, the one y'all choose to listen to and the one y'all choose to view. Please like, subscribe, leave a comment, and more importantly, share alike. Act like my podcast. It's a whore with his legs spread, with her legs spread, pause, and share amongst the fun. Let everybody come in. Let everybody enjoy the fruits of my labor. Listen, I don't know what to say. But yeah, please, more importantly, press that notification button so whenever I decide to drop, y'all will be the first ones to hear it. Next week will be more the same. I guess by next week, I'll know whether or not the New York Knicks have advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals or our season has come to an end. Hopefully not. But by next week's full-length episode, y'all will be the ones to find out. And y'all will see the look on my face, the expression on my face to figure out, damn, did the Knicks win? Damn, did the Knicks break his heart again? Only one way to find out, and that's to tune in. But the reason I say, more importantly, hit that notification bell so y'all be the first ones to hear it, is I will continue dropping Sprinkle of Salt episodes, my quick post-game reaction episodes after Game 5 and after Game 6 this week. Game 5 is Tuesday, so check it out late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning. And game six, I believe, is Friday. So check it out late Friday night, early Saturday morning for a couple of Sprinkle Salt episodes until just to hold y'all, get your palate ready for the full-length episode of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph. With all that being said, let's get to the little plugs. Check out Hidden Gems Football, hosted by the Mojo King and myself. New episodes during the football season drop each and every Thursday on the YouTube channel of the 19 Media Group. Best in Believe, with money camps coming up, training camp. Training camp is more like 2 months away, but mini camps coming up toward the end of the month, beginning of June. We might, just might, be on the lookout for a stealth Hidden Gems football drop. I don't know. The only way you'll find out is if you subscribe and press the notification button to the 19 Media Group YouTube channel. So whenever we drop over there, and ever you want to see this simply ravishing body of mine, y'all will be the first ones to see me and the Mojo King, of course. Also, while you're on that channel, check out my bros from Gimmick Infringement. Winchester and McDowell. Winchester and McDowell. Gimmick Infringement on the 19 Media Group YouTube channel. They drop each and every late Sunday night, early Monday morning. And here's a little sneak peek of what to expect. Maybe not this week, but what to expect from the boys from Gimmick Infringement.
Click the record button, that promposals are still happening and very important these days.
Yes, they are. And I think they're really cool. I love a good promposal. I'm a sucker for a good promposal. Hear me out. I'm saying this up front before I bury it. I am a sucker for a good promposal. If you were asking somebody out that you aren't currently dating, make a big deal out of it. I'm here for it. If you are dating, who the hell else are you going to go with? Why are we doing promposals if you're in a relationship? And why are you telling your significant other that you need to have one? What a dumb thing to do. Imagine for a second, there's an event, there's a gala, and your wife goes, somebody else asks, so I'm going with them.
That would not be ideal.
No, that's the end. That's it. That's the end of that relationship.
That's probably it.
Papers are being filed immediately.
Papers are being filed.
I'm in high school and somebody's like, well, I'm going with somebody else because you didn't prompose to me, I'd have been like, yeah. Okay, so we're done. And then that would be the end of it immediately.
Right. And so my thought is the desire for this is clearly a social media thing, right? We want the video, we want the likes,
public clout. It's all it's
the
for.
Comments. It's to capture it for IG.
And then who's it for?
It's for your hundreds and thousands of followers.
Bro. It's not for the girl you asked. Mm-hmm. You're not putting it out there for her.
Yeah. This sounds like a very logical adult take on.
And I try to
on the current state of teens.
I'm trying to teach. I'm trying to teach.
You're influencing the hearts and minds of the youth. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
See, that's just a taste of what you can get on Gimmick Infringement. I'm going to read their description on this week's episode, special Mother's Day edition of GI. It's one of their favorite days of the year. Brad and Tyler reunite to honor their moms on a special Mother's Day edition of Mother's Day episode. The reason they reuniting, because guess what? Yours truly was on last week's episode, which I need to check out because trust and believe, it was a banger after banger after banger. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not about me. This is about the boys. After praising the mothers in their lives, they honor the mommy of professional wrestling, Rhea Ripley. The guys shared their top five moments from her career thus far, including a signature NXT feud and an epic night in Australia. As the episode progresses, Brad shares his optimism for the upcoming clash between Malakai Black and Adam Copeland in AEW. Meanwhile, Tyler finally shares his thoughts on the current state of the Phoenix Suns. What happened? Like, we was talking basketball. I guess, you know what? That was the guest in you allowing me to have the floor when it comes to my New York Knicks. But you know, I was going to get on your ass about the Phoenix Suns, but I digress. Tyler finally shares his thoughts on the current state of the Phoenix Suns. But that's not all. The guys are also gearing up for what could be the most thrilling WNBA season yet. Aja Wilson is launching a signature sneaker, and Kelsey Plum is back on the market. So not only are we talking about Mother's Day, we're talking about The Bachelorette. There is a lot to be grateful for. Check out this week's new episode of Gimmick Infringement. Brought to you by the 19 Media Group. And last but not least, check out the audio version of the Talk to Your Thoughts and Mike Step podcast, available on the following platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Music, amongst others. New episodes drop each and every Wednesday, more like late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning. Tell you the truth, lately, more like late Thursday night, early Friday morning. Check me out on the social medias. Check me out at @MikeStephens_X, formerly known as Twitter. Check me out on the gram @Mike_Steph. And check me out on TikTok @MikeSteph single underscore. And put some bread in my Cash App, $DonnieMike. That's right, $DonnieMike. And new blog entry at MikeSteph.wordpress.com, in which I release another, or should I say, I put another entry of verses that'll never be recorded. That's right. That's my new thing. I write verses that I will never record, because guess what? I'm about 85% retired from dropping the mic. Matter of fact, not from dropping the mic, but from spitting that hot fire. So I just write some hot fire for y'all to read. So check out the blog at wordpress.com, www.mikesteph.org.wordpress.com, for my latest entry, verses that'll never be recorded, part two. This entry, I wrote a verse to SZA's track off the SOS album, Forgiveless. Yeah, that is a catchy tune. She sampled the ODB, so automatically caught my rap ear, and I was like, you know what? I'm the original G-O-D. And I was just like, getting young. You know what? I'm not going to say that, especially in the age of Drake. I'm not going to repeat those. But check it out. You'll be glad you did. And I just kind of lengthened this episode an extra 7 minutes, because I had a chance to get under 60 minutes. But guess what? That's not my style. That's not my steez. You know my steez. So with all that being said, until later on this week for a special sprinkle of salt edition, post-game reactions of the New York Knicks in their ongoing trek throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs, I bid y'all adieu. Stitch, I know you've been quiet. You got anything to say? Are you asleep? It's all right. Okay. You know, I swear, he is lucky. Once I get a replacement, his ass is out of here. So, until later on this week. Goodbye. I said, until later on next week. Well, this week. Stitch. Goodbye.